our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. You know, regardless, that's kind of where my, not necessarily hate came from with Bortles, but that's when I first was, like, kind of rooting against him.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Oh, Canada. I don't know the rest of the national anthem, but I'm in my transition, so I'm, you know, getting used to the Canadian culture.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
And the massive flu that I got hit with this week. Man.
Yeah, hope you're okay. I know that you described it in a very vivid manner a few times, so.
I'm definitely going to lean heavily on you this week, Mike.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 91 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, Canada. I don't know the rest of the national anthem, but I'm in my transition, so I'm, you know, getting used to the Canadian culture and you know, trying to fit in best I can, but yeah. That's what's going on for me.
I'm assuming this has something to do with the fact that a certain someone won an election. Yes, I was looking at cheap plane tickets.
108. Wasn't it 108?
Yeah, $108 per ticket one way from San Francisco to Vancouver on January 19th. So, we'll try to stay apolitical, you know. I'm sure there's, you know, people on both sides of the spectrum that listen. We have our own politics. Feel free to annoy us on Twitter if you really want our thoughts. I actually put something out on Facebook today that has been fairly well received. And you can find me on Facebook just under Justin Mason. And you can find Mike Warner, too. I don't know if he accepts friend requests from listeners, but I do. So you can, you know, if you're really into that, feel free to check us out there. Here we will talk about football and the massive flu that I got hit with this week. Man.
Yeah, man. Hope you're okay. I know that you described it in a very vivid manner a few times. So
I did. It was pretty awful. And the only reason I bring that up is, one, it's going to shorten the amount of time I'm able to do the podcast tonight. We're going to move very quickly through this.
Shocker.
And it's going to shorten my knowledge a little bit on what's happened this week, because I don't know. I've been fucking out. Like, I've been sleeping as much as I can, drink as many fluids, and kind of dead to the world for the last 4 days. So I'm going to lean on you pretty heavily, Mike. You know, I watched games last weekend, but other than that, I haven't really been following what's going on kind of in practices and practice reports and who's injured. I didn't even do ranks this week. I'm going to put up the staff ranks, but I didn't have time to do my own. I'm definitely going to lean heavily on you this week, Mike. So let's jump right in, talk about the first game of the week. That is Green Bay at Tennessee. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Yeah, there's a lot to take away from this game. In general, you know, you're playing all of your studs and, you know, so on and so forth. I know DeMarco Murray is injured and, you know, we're probably going to be a little bit weary in DFS how he might perform against a very stout run defense in Green Bay. But they also, you know, have been quite leaky against a couple of the, you know, I know Ezekiel Elliott went off against this team and, you know, they have a strong offensive line. Tennessee does. They're second in offensive line ranks. So this will be a fine game there, but I guess the guy I want to highlight just for, you know, going forward in the fantasy season is Antonio Andrews. I know Derrick Henry, they were talking about him and his calf taking a couple weeks. I know they were a little bit more positive about it this week, so he may, you know, he might, you know, well be back sometime, you know, even next week. You know, we never know. But if it is kind of a longer term deal, you know, the next few weeks or so, and DeMarco Murray is not somebody that has stayed healthy throughout the course of his career, then we could see Antonio Andrews, who literally has not touched the ball all year until last week and did fairly well. Again, going to be behind this offensive line that's pretty strong. So I'd like Antonio Andrews for deeper leagues going forward. As far as this game goes, I think Aaron Rodgers is an automatic. You have nothing to talk about here. here, but I do like Mariota as a quarterback one this week because I think there's going to be a lot of garbage time, and we've seen Mariota have some really nice high upside performances. So I think that this is going to be a situation where the Tennessee Titans will have to kind of come back, and Mariota will have to throw a bit.
I agree with you in terms of everything you said. I've got a question for you. Is Rishard Matthews now the number one wide receiver in Tennessee? And is it time that we start kind of paying attention to him in standard formats?
Yes and yes. He is leading the team in snaps. Actually, since Andre Johnson has left the team and retired, he is leading in targets, leading in snaps across the way. He has just become a really nice factor. 10 targets last week. It should be consistent. He has, I believe, 5 touchdowns over the last 5 weeks as well. I think that he is 100% a pickup if he hasn't been picked up already. And he's not really a wide receiver three, but he's like right in that more borderline wide receiver 3-4. In this game in particular, I think he's more of a wide receiver 2 with, you know, or a high end wide receiver 3 because of the Green Bay secondary being so, you know, just mediocre on average. So I think that this is a really nice spot for Rishard Matthews, especially in DFS and especially in, you know, regular season fantasy as well, because of the fact that I think that Mariota is going to have to throw a ton.
I agree with you. I think he is a guy to really take a look at. I mean, Kendall Wright has always been my boy, but Rishard Matthews has been getting the love the last few weeks. So I still think Kendall Wright will play a role, but I think he's a deeper reserve guy in case you're ravaged by a bye week or injuries or something along that line. Is it time to stash James Starks if he's out there on your waiver wire?
If you're in a deeper league, yeah, but I really do. I know Mike McCarthy came out earlier this week saying like he feels Ty Montgomery is a three down back. And regardless of how you feel about that, this Green Bay offense has really picked. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, you and I, Justin, were talking about this offense, and even you were worried about, you know, Aaron Rodgers long term. And since they've really moved to Ty Montgomery getting the majority of the snaps at running back, they've turned into a completely different offense. And that was with Randall Cobb really not playing the first half last week either. So I really, to me, especially in, you know, your standard 10 teamers on ESPN or your 12 teamers, I'm not really interested. But if I'm in a 14 team league or deeper, I don't mind, you know, taking a flyer on him just in case they do decide to go to more of a basic scheme.
Yeah, I still don't buy Ty Montgomery as an every down back.
Well, and I don't either. There's
and
something
and Starks was good last year when he got the work.
So, yeah, he just didn't got awful this year. I mean, and maybe that was part of the injury.
I think that's injury related. But I don't know if anybody is going to, and you know, once everybody is back and healthy, or I mean, at least in terms of James Starks, I don't know if anyone is going to be able to separate themselves enough. I think this turns into some sort of gross committee. All right, Packers versus the Titans. Mike, who you got?
Gotta go Packers.
Yeah, Packers. Let's go ahead and move on to the next game. Minnesota at Washington. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Maybe you can give some more analysis on this than I can, but to me, it seems like they're all aboard the Rob Kelly train in Washington, and I don't blame them. I think that this is a strong move by them. Matt Jones has consistently fumbled the ball and not been somebody that we can rely on. And, you know, so far this year, Rob Kelly has averaged 5 yards a carry. And,
they look like very similar players, except for one fumbles and one doesn't.
Yeah, so you go with the one that doesn't fumble.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, until Matt Jones can prove that he can hold on to the ball, and I think this has to do with coaching, and I think it's something that may need to happen in the offseason because he needs to learn to hold the ball high and tight and against his body and not stretch it out when he, you know, is fighting for extra yards. But you can't continue to fumble, especially down on the other side of the field. So I think I think it's going to be some sort of committee. I think they'll still try to give Matt Jones work, but I think Rob Kelly is going to lead the rushing part of it with Chris Thompson leading the receiving part of it.
Agreed. And I mean, in general for this game, I wouldn't be worried about Kyle Rudolph. I know that, you know, they just switched over, the Vikings did, to Pat Shurmur, and he only got one target, which happened to be a touchdown, which kind of saved you if you were playing Rudolph in pretty much the best matchup imaginable last week. But I do think that this is a nice spot again. You know, Washington isn't amazing against the tight end position, but they're not necessarily bad either. But I do think they're going to have to use Rudolph to be able to consistently, you know, score points. And, you know, this Vikings team in general is just kind of reeling here. So I really think this is going to be a low scoring game. I think both fantasy defenses, I mean, obviously the Vikings are in play, but I think the Washington defense is also in play in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Washington may, actually, I think both teams may score sports. Washington's defense sucks. It's absolutely atrocious. The bye week wasn't going to fix that. I mean, the only reason they can hold Minnesota in check is if Minnesota holds themselves in check. But I think there'll be enough mistakes on Washington's part. They'll give up some big plays. You know, I think Stephon Diggs is a guy who could probably take it to the house on a screen pass with 11 guys covering him, considering how poorly Washington tackles. So, you know, I think Jameson Crowder is a really interesting guy this week. DeSean Jackson's out. He's not going to be playing. They will move Crowder around quite a bit and try to get him to optimal matchups. Jordan Reed's obviously a stud. I think this isn't a game that's necessarily low scoring. I don't think it's particularly high scoring, but I would venture to say it's probably a 24-20 game.
Yeah, I like Reed automatically, but I do like Crowder the most of any of the wide receivers. Golden Tate played the slot a ton last week, against Minnesota, and he did really well, 11 catches. So I think that that's a good spot. I do just want to say, you know, Washington's run defense has been the, you know, the side of their D that has really gotten killed this year. And I can't really sit here and tell any fantasy owner that I'm comfortable starting any of the running backs in Minnesota. We saw Ronnie Hillman accrue more snaps last week than Jerick McKinnon. He also, you know, got one more touch and had 60 yards on those touches. So I think that this is a situation where, like, this is a true committee between Asiato, Hillman, and McKinnon, where I feel like McKinnon and Hillman are going to kind of split the, you know, 20-20 work, and Asiato is going to be the main red zone guy. There's really just not one that you can count on. McKinnon, essentially what I'm saying is McKinnon is droppable if you need it to be dropped.
Yeah, I mean, McKinnon, outside of week four, where he scored 15 points in standard scoring, hasn't scored in double digits at all this season. He scored in week three, he scored 6 points. Week five, he scored 5 points. Week five, he scored 4 points. Week seven, he scored 4 points. The rest were zero. I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, if you haven't dropped Jerick McKinnon, feel free to.
Still AP, won't. Remember, AP's back or able to come back in week 11. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to come back, but I haven't seen any reports quite yet on his health. But, I mean, the Vikings are playing for a Super Bowl this year. There's certainly every possibility of AP coming back. So if he's on your waiver wire and you have a roster spot to burn, he's about as good of a handcuff as any to kind of just have, you know, on the back of your roster and wait and see.
Yeah, the last update I'm seeing on AP was at the beginning of this month, and you know, he had his surgery in September, and no specific timetable for return. So, I hope AB comes back because I've stashed him in a number of leagues, but I wouldn't bet on it necessarily.
If you had to, I'm not trying to run long, but I've had this decision myself. If you had to stash one of Sammy Watkins, Deion Lewis, or AP, which one are you stashing? Or put it in an order. How about that?
Deion Lewis, AP, Sammy Watkins.
I'm the exact same.
Because Deion Lewis should be back. He may be back this week.
Probably. Yeah, he should be active this week. We'll talk about it in the game, but yeah.
Washington versus the Vikings. Who you got, Mike?
I'm going to go Washington.
I am too. I think the Vikings are in a tailspin right now.
How about Detroit, though? You talked about Detroit, and their, like, just end-of-game heroics is insane to watch.
They're a fun team right now.
They really are. It's awesome. It's really awesome to watch.
let's talk about Chicago and Tampa Bay. What's your takeaway, Mike?
It looks to me, I mean, Doug Martin's back at practice. I don't necessarily think he plays. this week. Let's see if he practiced today. He had another limited session. I would give it a 50-50 chance that he suits up. Even if he does suit up, I can't imagine that you feel okay starting, you know, Doug Martin after, you know, weeks and weeks of not having him available to you. So in general, I would not play him. And, you know, the Chicago run defense has been really good these last few weeks. Ever since Frank Gore in week 5, they haven't allowed one rusher to go over 50 yards quite yet. And Asiata was the only one to go over 50 combo yards. That's it. So I think that this is a situation where you kind of wait and see with Doug Martin. Peyton Barber is okay as a flex option this week. He is going to get the majority of the touches. Mike James might fill in a little bit, and they called up another guy off the practice squad. He's going to be a non-factor. But in general, Peyton Barber is the guy that you would go with at running back here if you're going to be starting one from this game. But again, Chicago is not a very good matchup right now.
All right.
All the Alshon Jeffrey, that can be your take.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffrey, he's going to have a big game. I mean, Tampa Bay's defensive secondary is going to probably give up a ton of yards rest of the way, especially considering their schedule. Jay Cutler only has eyes for Alshon Jeffrey and always has. So, I mean, if you've been struggling on whether or not Alshon Jeffrey is going to be a guy you can count on rest of the season, I can't necessarily say he will, but he will definitely be a vital part of your team this week.
I have Cameron Meredith as a top 20 option this week, and I think people are kind of forgetting about him. I mean, the Buccaneers are that bad against receivers. So if you are in a pinch, I think Cameron Meredith is a guy that probably was dropped in a few places, and you can easily pick him back up and start him this week with confidence.
Sure. Chicago at Tampa, Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go Tampa, but I really don't feel good about it.
Yeah, I'll go Tampa. Kansas City at Carolina. Mike, what's your takeaway?
In theory, I want to play. First off, I don't know about Jerry Macklin. I'm going into this game assuming he's not going to play. So with that said, Alex Smith is 100% returning. And, you know, which is, you know, just music to my ears. But in theory, against the Panthers secondary, who have been just, you know, getting gashed this season, I would love to play Tyreek Hill or Chris Conley, like we kind of mentioned last week. And, you know, I mean, they gave up five or six touchdowns over the last three games. I mean, this is a team that constantly gets beat, and I just don't feel comfortable doing it. And that's because Alex Smith just doesn't throw the ball downfield. And so the only pass catcher from the Chiefs that I feel okay with is Travis Kelce. He's your usual top five option. But I've heard a few people really kind of tout this Chiefs passing game this week in particular because of the Panthers' ineptitude in their secondary, and I just don't think that's a very good likelihood that happens. So, and Spencer Ware returns this week, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, I don't think Macklin's playing personally, but definitely check it at game time. And I agree with you. I don't really want any part of the receiving options outside of Kelce in Kansas City. Alex Smith is an atrocious quarterback, and has been for a very long time. I don't know why he keeps getting chances. You know, to lead NFL teams. You know, Carolina's been a mess in the defensive secondary, but, I mean, nothing will cure that more than a game at home versus Alex Smith. So I wouldn't be starting any Kansas City receiver unless I'm absolutely desperate.
Agreed. I also think Jonathan Stewart is a strong DFS play this week. You wouldn't think so on the surface, but he's continually getting kind of the goal line rushes that in the past has been all Cam Newton. And I think that the Panthers are just a little bit more weary of Cam getting kind of crushed on a game-to-game basis. So I really like Stewart this week, even though others might just kind of fade him because of the Kansas City matchup.
Hey, you save that for your DFS podcast, Mike. Kansas City at Carolina, Mike. Who you got?
I'm going to go Carolina.
I'm going to take Carolina as well. Let's move on. Atlanta at Philadelphia. What is your takeaway, Mike?
Yeah, so the Eagles, they've had all these different reports, right? First off, we've seen, I said last week that I didn't think Darren Sproles would continue to get 80%+ of the snaps. Well, I was wrong. He got 80%+ of the snaps last week. And
which Ryan I don't Matthews, get, by the way. I just absolutely don't get.
Well, it's because Ryan Matthews has been so bad. And the lucky thing for Ryan Matthews and his owners is that on the few touches that he is getting, he happens to score. You know, he's gotten 11 touches total the last 2 weeks on less than 20% of the snaps, and he's gotten 2 touchdowns in both weeks. So I think that he is the firm red zone back here. And against the Atlanta Falcons defense, this is certainly a place where you can feel, I guess, okay if you want to use Matthews as a flex. But regardless, Darren Sproles is in an amazing matchup this week. The Atlanta Falcons give up top 5 most receptions to running backs. They're actually number 2. They've given up 70 this year. They've also given up 3 receiving scores. So you're looking at a very good spot for Darren Sproles this week. And the thing that I'm kind of talking about in terms of the Eagles and their reporting, at the beginning of the week, they're talking about Carson Wentz and how Doug Peterson is saying he wants to dial his pass attempts back, which is fine and dandy. But then you're seeing more reports later this week saying that they want to get Zach Ertz more involved, which kind of tells me that, you know, we might be seeing a good amount of the targets go to Darren Sproles and Zach Ertz. So with Zach Ertz being kind of just unstartable for the majority of this season, I think that this is a spot that you can feel okay starting him, especially, you know, with the tight end just being the way it is this year. I wouldn't mind going with him this week if you kind of are in a pinch, or even if you're not. I think that he's a pretty strong play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting Zach Ertz in a league where I've got my tight end on bye, so I agree with you there. You know, I never believe anything you hear, you know, coming out of any camp.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard sometimes.
I mean,
sometimes
the majority of it is such bullshit.
Yeah,
you know, and it's so hard to decipher what's real and what's not. So I wouldn't put too much stock into any of that. You know, the Eagles are probably going to be down early anyways. So, yeah, have fun dialing back Carson Wentz pass attempts.
Yeah, and I think that Jordan Matthews, you know, not to go off on a DFS thing again, but I think that he's an amazing play in this spot because Desmond Trufant, the, you know, top corner from Atlanta, is more than likely going to be out. It's not 100% yet, but it's a likely scenario, which leaves, you know, the Atlanta secondary really vulnerable to a lot of, you know, passing yardage and such. So I think that they picked the wrong week to really mention scaling back Carson Wentz pass attempts. This could easily be something that, you know, they have to do regardless. And yeah. Tevin Coleman, I also want to add, is kind of shaping up as a possibility to play as well. If he didn't play for some reason, Devontae Freeman is obviously a top 5 back, no questions.
Yeah, and I mean, I think even if he does play, they'll probably work him in a little bit slowly, especially considering I think Freeman is a better fit against Philadelphia's defense anyways.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Atlanta at Philadelphia, who you got?
I'm going to go Philly in the upset.
Wow. That's really shocking to me. And it's shocking because I'm going to go with Philly in the upset. And it has nothing to do with anything I've seen on tape or on the film. You know, if you follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, I lost a really good friend to cancer this week, John D. I've known him for, you know, the better part of a decade. He was a great buddy of mine. Died of lung cancer after about a year and a half battle with it, and he's a huge Eagles fan. And so I'm hoping he's going, as much as I'm a Redskins fan, I don't want to see my division win most of the time. I'm going to make an exception this week and hope that he's looking down from heaven and gets to witness an Eagles win, because he was a huge diehard Eagles fan and never let me forget it.
My condolences.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and move on to the next game. Rams at the Jets. Mike, is this game watchable?
No, 100% not watchable. I talked about on the ITL podcast with, you know, Bogman and the Welsh are good friends. About this, you know, this first off, Jeff Fisher just pretty much announcing to everybody that he's not going to start Jared Goff until the Rams are completely out of it. I'd say that they're completely out of it.
Yeah, wait. That was like week 3 of the preseason.
Yeah. I don't know when he thought they were in it, but, again, a joke used on the podcast, some more 7-9 bullshit from Jeff Fisher is always right.
I'm assuming that's a Hard Knocks reference since I didn't watch the show.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Kenny Britt and, I believe Brian Quick, I could be wrong, but they were, you know, riding this little go-kart around their practice facility, and they had like a little camera in there, like filming themselves do it, and they hit a rock or something and fell out of it. You know, luckily they didn't get injured, but, you know, Jeff Fisher played it in front of the whole entire team, and he's like, this is some 7-9 bullshit that I don't put up with. You know, like, I thought
has he not looked at his career.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyways, no, this game isn't watchable from a fantasy aspect. Todd Gurley is, he hasn't practiced for the second straight day now. We're recording this on Thursday as usual. So this is a very highly, you know, questionable situation for me to even play him. He's already in a terrible matchup against the Jets run defense. For me, at least right now, I'm benching him, and I would not play Benny Cunningham in his place. As far as the, you know, pass catchers in this game, I feel like Brian Quick, who has seen his snaps rise these last few weeks, is a viable start if you are in need, especially in deeper formats as a wide receiver three. I really like Kenny Britt. He's had a pretty safe floor as well. I have both of them ranked as, you know, wide receiver threes for this week. Lance Kendricks has kind of come out of nowhere and been very productive as well. So there's a few pass catchers on this team, if Todd Gurley is out, that could really be okay for you if you decided to go that route.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Kenny Britt, and he may be available in a number of leagues. So he's a guy that I feel like has been fairly underrated this year in terms of what he's given in the situation that he's in. You know, he's not going to get a lot of publicity over there in LA, but he's done pretty well considering his quarterback is Case Keenum.
He's on pace for possibly his best season outside of the touchdown since 2010. You know, I mean,
people are kind of that's what I mean. I mean, like, the touchdowns are fluky. It's, you know, it's hard to predict, but he's also scored three touchdowns in his last three games. You know, I mean, he's had, you know, a number of, you know, 70, you know, 75, you know, yard plus receiving yards games. I mean, he's doing the best he can with what he's working with. And if you're desperate, he's only owned in 50% of leagues on ESPN.
What are you doing, Brandon Marshall? A lot of people are selling. I'm still not selling yet.
I'm not selling, but he's not a must start for me.
Yeah, I'm still going to start him as a, you know, wide receiver two or something this week.
I'm not starting him in our three sport league this week.
Really? That's
I mean, my wide receiver core is stacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was either him or DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Well, I would go with Hopkins, obviously. But yeah, I think that people are kind of overblowing this a bit. You know, 21 is where I have Marshall ranked this week, and that's by far the lowest I've had him ranked this season. But the Jets are just, I think it's pretty obvious here, they're not very good. You know, they get a bye week next week. Then you're facing New England, Indianapolis, San Francisco, Miami, New England in the fantasy championship week. Like, these are all matchups that the Jets more than likely will not be in the game. I mean, maybe Indy, San Francisco, in Miami, it's fine, but like, even if they're in the game, the way that they would be in the game is by using Brandon Marshall. So I feel like this is a situation where, you know, the rest of the season the matchups kind of play, you know, in Marshall's favor, and regardless of who the quarterback is, they're going to target him plenty. He still has a top 10 target share in all of football, even though he hasn't been efficient. Actually, he's been the, you know, most inefficient he's ever been in his career. So I mean, that's certainly something that we're not liking, but other than that, I think that he's fine.
Yep. Rams at the Jets. Who you got?
I'm going to go the Rams, unfortunately.
I'm going to take the Jets at home, early game, you know, East Coast. So
the Rams are 3-5, man. They got to push back to that, you know, 500 area.
I think they got to lose a couple more games so then they can rally to get to 7-9. 10 at New Orleans. What's your takeaway, Mike?
There's so many takeaways. Aqib Talib's going to be out of the game more than likely for the Broncos. We saw Crabtree and Amari Cooper do okay against the Broncos D last week, but they certainly took a step down because of the matchup in itself. So, you know, with the Saints, I think that's something to note when you're thinking about starting Brandon Cooks or Michael Thomas or, you know, Willie Snead at home, because usually they're automatic starts, and this is kind of a situation where I would kind of avoid that. So I have Thomas as more of a wide receiver three this week, same with Brandon Cooks. I think there's a few options that I would rather go with. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But I would probably, you know, try and find another spot to go, even though Michael Thomas has been a wide receiver one, you know, this year. So regardless, I think that's, you know, something you need to be a little bit weary of. I also think that, you know, I talked about this as well on the ITL show, the Capri Bibbs, Devontae Booker, you know, scenario that's going on here between, you know, snaps and touches. It has gone Booker's way wholeheartedly these last couple of weeks. I feel like if Bibbs didn't have that 60-yard reception touchdown, nobody would even be talking about Bibbs being a factor going forward for this team. Mike Kliss, one of the best beat writers in all of football for the Broncos, was the one that kind of mentioned Capri Bibbs getting more touches than Booker. And I you know, I can't sit here and say comfortably that I don't believe him, but if I'm putting money on this backfield for the rest of the season, I think Booker is going to have probably a 70-80% share of the touches, and Bibbs will probably fill in, and the same with Juwan Thompson, the rest.
I agree with you in terms of if it's between Bibbs and Booker that Booker gets the majority of touches. I just don't think Bibbs could handle the workload.
No. No, he can't. There's no way.
I mean, he's built like Eli.
If
you've never seen Eli, he's like, you know, he's a tiny little dude.
He's 120 pounds soaking wet. Like,
yeah,
coming out
while holding 20-pound weights in each hand.
Yes.
You know, so I hope Eli listens to this. But I think the wild card becomes Juwan Thompson, which is like the most frustrating thing in the world.
He always finds a way into relevance, like in the second half of every year.
Everybody, like, because you know what's going to happen is Bibbs will get like the third down work, you know, the passing down stuff. Booker will run from the 20 to the 20, and then as soon as he gets, you know, within 5 yards, they're just going to hand it to Juwan Thompson, which is it's so frustrating. But I think that's kind of what we're going to end up seeing at some point. But if I'm going to bank on anybody, I'm banking on Booker. I think he's the most talented of all the backs. I think he is the best and most capable to handle a full workload. I just don't know 100% if we're going to see that.
He's got to calm down the fumbles. You know, he fumbled his first touch that he ever got in the NFL. It seems to me like he enters games pretty antsy. So he needs to kind of calm down a bit and just let the game kind of slow down a bit. And, you know, hopefully things will work out. I still love Booker as a talent, and I think he's a running back one going
forward.
He's
only lost 2 fumbles.
Yeah, but the amount of touches he's gotten,
I understand.
It's kind of like, you know, it's a little bit weary of that. But regardless, Booker is a running back one going forward.
I believe that as well. All right, Broncos at the Saints. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Broncos. No, you know what? I'm going to go with the Saints. But and I do want to just say that the Broncos pass catchers, just start them. You know,
yes.
I know we didn't really touch on that.
I like Trevor Siemian this week if you're desperate at quarterback. I mean, I had to pick up someone to replace Andrew Luck on bye, and Simeon's the guy I went with because it was like him or Case Keenum.
Yeah, I have him at 16 this week, which is the highest I've had him all year. So
yeah, I'm going to take New Orleans too. They're just at home.
Yeah.
So,
what about Mark Ingram, Tim Hightower? I know we're going long on this matchup. There's just a ton here.
I think this is a really telling week in terms of what we're going to see. I think if I'm going to bank on one guy or bet on one guy, I'm betting on Ingram. But I think if I could get like draft day value for Ingram right now, I would.
To me, if San Francisco, if they weren't playing San Francisco last week, I think that this would have been a scenario where everybody would have been panicking wholeheartedly on Ingram, because they gave Tim Hightower at the beginning of that game, I believe, the first 13 touches out of the backfield.
Yeah, but doesn't it say something that they went to Ingram and then stuck with him? Like, you know, he got in trouble the week before. He got punished at the beginning of the game. He earned back the coach's trust, and they kept going to him. So, like, that to me, like, says, okay, maybe they trust him again, but I don't think we'll know for sure until this week. But for me, like, if you're in a position to get, like, straight-up value for, you know, someone, you know, around the same spot, I take it just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, my thing here is, and I agree with you, I'm with Mark Ingram. I think Mark Ingram is the better back here. I worry because the snaps in general went in favor of Tim Hightower. And that tells me that going forward, I think it's going to be much more of a 50-50 split than it is going to be Mark Ingram kind of reemerging as the, you know, guy that gets the majority of the touches.
I agree with your stance there. And I agree with that too. But I think the scoring touches, I mean, unless Hightower breaks something, are going to go to Ingram. We're not going to, I think after what we saw last week, I think moving forward, Ingram is the goal line back, plus does a lot of the inside work. You're going to still see Hightower because they're a passing offense. They're an offense that likes to throw the ball to the running backs, especially, and Hightower will be a huge part of that. But the guy who's going to be grounding it out when they're winning or when they want to run the ball between the tackles, I think that goes back to Ingram. So, like, you know, first and goal at the 5 is going to Ingram. It's not going to go to Hightower again.
Sure.
All right, let's go ahead and move on and talk about Houston at Jacksonville. Mike, what's your takeaway?
We get to talk about my favorite quarterback ever, in Blake Bortles.
Oh, not Brock Osweiler?
God, I love both of them. They just get my pants tighter and tighter every single week.
Yeah, I heard you bashing my boy Bortles on the ITL podcast.
You want to know where this stems from with Bortles is when he got drafted. He was obviously in the same draft as you and I's other boy, Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. And my good buddy and I made a firm bet on who would be the better NFL quarterback. And, you know, we put a nice sum of jelly beans on this. And we said over the course of 5 years. So I took Bridgewater's side and he took Bortles. And obviously after 1 year, it was looking like Bortles would be the, you know, better, you know, of the two. And, you know, what really frustrates me and what really grinds my gears is that Bridgewater got hurt this year and we won't even get the chance to, you know, continue to see both of them.
Especially with the report that came out recently that Bridgewater may never play again.
Which has me, you know, stunned in itself. But, you know, regardless, that's kind of where my not necessarily hate came from with Bortles, but that's when I first was like kind of rooting against him. And so, I mean, it's just kind of a continuation of that. And the fact that it was so bad last year, but, you know, amounted to a great fantasy quarterback was, you know, unfortunate. But in regards to this game, I'm looking at the running back situation for Jacksonville because I think that this is the only saving grace that Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville team has the rest of the way. Chris Ivory looked great last week. I really give it to the new offensive coordinator there. I can't remember his name for kind of getting things right in the offensive scheme and, you know, giving Ivory pretty much the most snaps he's seen, the most touches, and just allowing him to kind of, you know, work through the game and get, you know, a good amount of touches in production. Coming into this game against Houston, you're seeing a team that gave up, you know, over 100 yards and a touchdown to Theo Riddick, gave up over 100 yards to CJ Anderson in week 7, gave up over 100 yards to Frank Gore in week 6, and they allowed Matt Asiata to almost approach 100 yards and a touchdown in week 5. DeMarco Murray crushed them. LeGarrette Blount crushed them. I mean, they've gotten crushed now against running backs in 6 straight weeks, and you know, I think Chris Ivory getting the majority of the touches is a very sneaky flex to running back 2 option this week, with TJ Yeldon possibly even being a nice little you know, flex option in PPR format. So I like this running game a lot more than the passing game.
Yeah, and it's Nathaniel Hackett is the new offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. I agree with you. I think Ivory really established himself as the guy there, and it is you know, he may actually be available in some leagues. I should probably check that and see. But
He was in a few of mine. He was absolutely available in a few of mine. Same with Yeldon. Yeldon's been dropped in multiple formats. Mind you, these are like 12 teamers, not like your 16 to 20 teamers.
Still, though, I mean, like, you know, I mean, if most people are dying at running back in a number of leagues, like, so, I mean, the idea that a guy like TJ or a guy like Ivory could be available to them and fill that RB2 slot, especially if they're still, you know, dealing with bye week issues. I mean, that could be extremely helpful.
Sure. Yeah. I'll say on the Texan side here, yeah, Lamar Miller's coming back from a shoulder injury. There's nothing really to worry about. He hasn't been as good as people might have thought coming into this year. And standard scoring for the year, he is right at running back 15, it looks like. He's tied with Mark Ingram and Spencer Ware at the moment. So, I mean, not necessarily what we expected, but he's not crushing you. He should be fine for this game. So I just wanted to bring him up as like kind of an injury update. But as far as Hopkins goes, you know, we're looking at a guy that crushed Jacksonville last year in his first matchup, 10 receptions, 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. Had a much more economical day against them the second time they matched up. He had 7 for 89. I think that this is going to be more of the same against Jacksonville. He's going to be matched up against Jalen Ramsey, who is quickly emerging as one of the best cover corners in all of football. You got to give it up to Ramsey for just really getting his game in check as the season has gone on and really improving in that aspect. So I think Hopkins is more of a wide receiver two this week, probably moving forward as well. But I did just want to kind of mention, where the pass game might go. CJ Fedorowicz, it should be a nice little back end tight end one as well, continuing to get heavy targets.
Yeah, and if Will Fuller is in the game and playing, I know he's still dealing with some knee issues, but it looks like he is on track to play at this point. He could be a guy that really breaks out this week again, considering Ramsey will be on Hopkins.
I don't think you can play Will Fuller.
If you're missing guys like Dorsett and Hilton because of the bye weeks, then you may have to.
Nobody's missing Dorsett, but Hilton, I agree.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just throwing out. I can't think of anybody else or the other teams that are on bye. Crabtree or, you know,
Marvin Jones.
Or you're playing in a deeper format, you may need to play a guy like Will Fuller. So, you know, and the Jaguars have not been, I mean, other than Ramsey, their defensive backs have not been great.
Top 12, according to DVOA on Football Outsiders. Probably a lot of that has to do with Ramsey, though.
Yeah, exactly. if he's shutting down their number one wide receiver, or at least holding him to something, you know, that really brings down the numbers.
Yeah, against number two receivers this year, they're 27, so you're on to something. Yeah. You're on to something.
Jacksonville versus Houston, Mike, who you got?
Houston.
Coming off the bye, take Houston.
There's definitely a chance the Jaguars win, though.
I had such high hopes for them this year.
They're favored right now. Minus two.
Jacksonville, I'll probably be taking Houston plus the points. Miami at San Diego. Mike, what's your takeaway?
There's not a lot. I guess I'll take away the – I like Dontrelle Inman this week for the second straight week.
Just stop it.
No, I really believe that Benjamin will be out this week, and there's certainly places that you can kind of hit. This Dolphins defense in the secondary is one of them. I think, again, if you want to talk about people in a pinch that need a wide receiver, I think Inman is more of a play than Fuller, at least for right now. Miami has gotten things in check a bit, but at the same time, they've been able to control the clock so much with Jay Ajayi just breaking out that I don't think people have really needed to pass at will against them like they did earlier in the year. So I do like Inman as a back end wide receiver three PPR option if you're in need for this week. Tyrell Williams, I do just want to add, as far as schedules go, they end up getting, I believe San Diego gets Cleveland they get Cleveland in the fantasy championship week, and they also get Oakland the week before, Tampa Bay in week 13. There's a few other teams that have a little bit better schedule. The Saints, off the top of my head, getting Tampa Bay twice is one of them. But this is a prime playoff matchup, and that's just heading into the playoffs type of matchup. So I think that Tyrell Williams is a strong buy going into the fantasy playoffs. And I know we've already talked Melvin Gordon, but Melvin Gordon is a top five running back, no questions asked. If you can buy him for anything less than that, then go ahead and do it.
Yeah, and Hunter Henry looks like he will be back. I thought he would be out this week, considering they have a bye next week. But yeah, it looks like he is probably going to play this Sunday. So definitely keep an eye on kind of the game, especially considering it is a afternoon start. So, there is a pretty decent chance that he suits up against Miami. All right, Miami at San Diego. Mike, who you got?
I'm going San Diego. Yeah, San Diego.
I'm going to go Miami.
Listeners can tell we don't think about who is going to win the game before we start
this. Yeah, right?
This
is all off top of our heads. I don't do any prep for this show.
Well, that's not true for me, but...
Well, I've also been out sick with the flu for 4 straight days, so... Dallas at Pittsburgh. Mike, what's your takeaway?
This isn't really a takeaway for the game. I have a lot of takeaways for the game, but I know that you hate narratives.
Hate narratives.
I know you do. And for DFS players, that's what we live for is narratives, Justin. So
that's what all fantasy players live for.
I'm just wondering this. Does at some point this domestic dispute get into Zeke's head at some point? Like, I feel like over the course of time, if something just continually is popping up, you know, maybe at some point it gets in your head and it affects your play on the field. I'm not necessarily banking on that to happen. He's still a running back one, no questions asked. But I'm just wondering at some point, is that something that can, A, get him out of games? We know that the NFL is kind of...
Yeah, that's my biggest concern, is that at some... You know, the NFL has shown the propensity to not give two shits about where the legal system is. And for some reason, they keep letting this kid suit up.
Yeah, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke that, you know, people can get... you know, fined and, you know, suspended for marijuana use or whatever, but you have some, you know, players out there with domestic violence issues. Greg Hardy, thank God, is not on a field this year, but the fact that he was even allowed on the field in the first place, you know, is crazy. But that's the thing. That's the main worry for me with Zeke, is not his talent. I think it's pretty apparent that he is a top five guy, maybe a top three guy in this league, but it's just, I don't want him to miss games. I mean, this is the critical point of the fantasy season. I don't think he would necessarily miss games based on what I've read and, you know, all that stuff. But at some point, I do feel like it could get in his head, and that kind of worries me a bit.
I'm not worried about it getting in his head. I'm just, for me, if I'm an Elliott owner, my biggest fear is something coming out in week 13, week 14, that forces him to miss the rest of the season.
Sure.
Or forces him to be, you know, suspended without pay because some new allegation came out. And I'm always like the person that says, like, you know, I can separate my morality from my fantasy side of things. You know, as much as I know not everybody can do that, I have no problem drafting Ben Roethlisberger, even though he's been accused of rape. You know, I have no problem drafting Michael Vick in spite of the fact that, you know, the things he was convicted of, because I'm not really employing those players. You know, I'm not
condoning
them money.
Their actions.
Yeah.
You're just
I'm trying to win a fantasy matchup, you know.
Sure.
You know, it's a game. And, you know, who cares, right? And so, like, that... But to me, when something is pending, when someone hasn't been punished, it scares me because I'm afraid that at some point something's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah, that's a little bit of what I'm worried about here. You know, getting to the actual game at hand, I think that this is a great spot for Pittsburgh. They, you know, came off of a brutal loss last week. And I mean, Baltimore really just kind of shredded them. Until the fourth quarter, it just wasn't a game at all. And really, you can make the argument it wasn't a game at all the whole entire time, especially with Chris Boswell's amazing kick, onside kick at the end, which was, you know, something, again, we talked about on ITL. But, you know, for this game, I do think that, you know, with Barry Church out and with Maurice Claiborne out as well for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, Cleveland couldn't really, you know, make that something that was apparent on the field. But I do think the Steelers can. I mean, we all know the splits with Big Ben and Antonio Brown at home. It's kind of very similar to the splits that the New Orleans Saints have at home. I think that this is a get right game for them. I think this is a get right game for Pittsburgh in general. So I, you know, the 7-1 Cowboys, I'm kind of automatically writing off as 7-2, and I can predict with my magic ball right now that there's going to be so much talk. You know, I feel Dak Prescott is not going to have a very good game this week, and I can see every single sports media, you know, on TV and, you know, in blogs and everything writing about the Tony Romo. Is he going to come back? You know, Dak Prescott's coming off a bad game, blah, blah, blah. And in the end, it should never be an argument. Dak Prescott owns this team. It's his Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what to say after that rant. It was beautiful. I believe every word of it. I think.
Think the Steelers win, though, handedly?
Yeah,
that's kind of what I'm making
win.
It on.
I think at some point, the Cowboys need to be exposed a little bit.
Yeah. You were down on Dez last week. I'm assuming you're back up on Dez this week, you know, based on the opportunity.
Yeah, but probably not as high as everybody else.
Well, I'm as a top 12 option. I know I'm the lowest guy.
I wouldn't have him as a top 12 option.
So you have him, what, 17?
Yeah,
16?
Probably low teens, 18, 19, something like that. You know, maybe 17. Like I said, I didn't do ranks, so it's kind of a hard reference for me. I was by far the lowest last week. I had him, I believe, outside my top 20. I think 23rd or 24th.
You're right. I'll give you that. You were right. Not because of, you know, the talent, but because of, I mean, he almost caught a touchdown itself. He ended up missing it. But if he caught the touchdown, then, you know, whatever. But that's the thing is, you know, based on the opportunity, it was a strong call in itself. You know, I just don't like to always bank on game script. Like, as much as I feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to crush the Cowboys in this game, and I want to fire up.
They're going to need Dez. I think for me, I'm going to have a hard time ranking him towards or being a wide receiver one rest of the way, because of the fear that at some point during a game he could go out with that knee injury. And I know everybody has injury possibilities, but when you're playing on damaged goods, that to me is something that I'm going to definitely take into account.
The top receivers for opposing teams that Pittsburgh has faced, Mike Wallace went for 120 in a touch last game. Julian Edelman went for 9 for 60. The week before that, Jarvis Landry went for 7 for 91, and Marshall went for 8 for 114 in a touch. So the top receivers for opposing teams have done fairly well against Pitt this year.
Yep. Dallas, Pittsburgh, we're both taking Pittsburgh. So let's move on to San Francisco at Arizona. Start all your Cardinals. You start some of your Niners. Kind of either takeaways, Mike.
Yeah, so David Johnson is going to have, like, the game of games this week.
Oh, the number one player in fantasy. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I believe Ben Brennis made that take a few weeks back, and I was like, strong play, yeah. Ben. I appreciate it. A lot of knowledge given here. I will say on the 49ers side, well, first on the Cardinals, I like J.J. Nelson. He is going to be their second receiver. John Brown is still kind of coming back from that hamstring injury due to the sickle cell trait problem. So I think J.J. Nelson is a great, great play this week, maybe even a borderline wide receiver too, based on the Cardinals and their volume. So I think that he's a strong candidate to play if you want to go that route. On the Niners side, I know that Carlos Hyde is kind of 50-50 to play. It's looking like he's more on track. He did finally take some contact. So that's kind of the hurdle I was waiting for him to clear before I was even thinking about Hyde being in the game. In the meantime, Juwan Harris, you know, assumed more than 85% of the touches, or not the touches, 85% of the snaps last week. Looked great. You know, so I think that this is a, you know, if Juwan Harris ends up gaining the majority of the touches again because Carlos Hyde is ruled out, you firmly put him in as a, you know, running back two and just say, hey, thank you for the production for now. And it, you know, hopefully you're a Carlos Hyde owner that has Juwan Harris. If you don't, then I think that Hyde, if he doesn't play this week, will at least be back next week.
Yeah, and I don't think Hyde's going to be back this week. I believe today was the second day in a row with the non-contact jersey on.
Was it non-contact? I thought that I read they did.
I'm looking at it right now, and now it looks like he is supposed to, he's on track to play. He was practicing again with a non-contact jersey, but this is their good chance he could play this week against the Cardinals. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like you're a Niners team that is looking towards the future. Why do that? You know, especially with Harris looking actually fairly decent last week against the Saints defense, but still.
If Hyde is active, would you play Harris if you are just kind of desperate? Like, are you playing Harris or are you playing Rashad Jennings?
Harris.
If Hyde is active, you know, are you playing him or are you playing Ryan Matthews?
Matthews?
Based on, you know, possible, I guess, you know, reps later in the game or in the red zone.
The red zone, I prefer Arizona's defensive front.
Capri Bibbs or Harris?
Oh, Harris.
Even Capri Bibbs facing New Orleans, the team that Harris saw last week.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'd go Bibbs. I think I'd go Bibbs.
Peyton Barber or Harris?
No, I'm going Harris there.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Harris Harris is going to be active. If Hyde is active, I still would say he is a back end running back three or flex option, you know, it depending on what your team needs are.
Yep. San Francisco at Arizona. Mike, who you got?
Arizona.
Seattle at New England. Mike, what's your takeaway?
Seattle's offensive line is the most frustrating thing I've ever seen in my lifetime.
I don't know why it's frustrating. It's just god awful.
I don't know whose is worse between Minnesota and Seattle. It's a toss up.
I think
Russell
it's
Wilson.
And I think it's been that way for a few years.
Yeah, a couple years now since they got rid of Max Unger. It's been just kind of a wash. But yeah, Russell Wilson, I will say, looked a little bit better. Last week, he was a little bit more mobile. I'm not going to say he's all the way back, but I will say he is progressing a bit. So I'll give him that. Regardless, Christy Michael, guy that I have mentioned my love for a long time now, has just been unfairly crushed this year. I hate that he lost so many snaps last week to CJ Procise. With that said, this is something that we're going to have to consider for our fantasy teams moving forward. Pretty much Michael has saved his fantasy value with touchdowns each and every week. We can't really bank on that going forward, especially in the game against the Patriots. I would start Procise above Christine Michael because I think that the Seahawks are going to have to play from behind. The Patriots have barely run the ball against the Seahawks the last couple times that they faced them. I think that will continue. This will be kind of a shootout style matchup for me, and Procise is the one that fits that bill more than Christine Michael. So if you're picking between the two, I think Procise is the guy I would go with. If he's available, Procise should be picked up. And Thomas Rawls should be back sometime here in the next week, maybe two. This is turning into a situation that I'm not liking for Christine Michael and the Seattle backfield.
Yeah. And God, their schedule, I really thought their schedule would be better rest of the way in terms of fantasy playoffs. I mean, they get Tampa Bay, but other than that, Carolina, Green Bay, Rams, Arizona. Our weeks 13 through 16, and they finish against San Francisco in week 17, but most leagues aren't playing that week anyways. So, that's unfortunate because I really thought at least he'd get a pretty cozy, matchup considering the division. But, I think Michael will be fine in the long term. But I just don't think, I think we were both thinking of him as a RB1 rest of the way, and I think he's more of an RB2.
Yeah.
All right. Any takeaways from New England?
Deion Lewis is probably coming back, and if he does, then you definitely want to monitor. I think that this will be more of a James White and Deion Lewis splitting reps situation. And like I said, I just don't expect the Patriots to really run, your conventional running style game, with LeGarrette Blount. I think that this is a typical pass heavy situation for the Patriots, and I think Julian Edelman will be fine, and Rob Gronkowski, like usual. Bennett, I think, is a back end tight end one if you want to go that route, but I'm not going to be playing. I probably won't be playing Deion Lewis coming off of his, longer than a year now, stint on the IR. And, I think James White is more of a flex option if you had to go that route. But there's still a few more intriguing options that I think will get the majority of the touches.
Yeah, I think he's going to be eased back in. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about it for this week, playing him or worrying about his effect on James White. White's value this week, but going forward, the reports are really, really great on Deion Lewis's conditioning and what he looks like in the field.
Yeah. I have White at 44 this week, and that's without Lewis hitting the field yet. So, I mean, maybe James White is a drop is kind of what I'm saying here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing James White in a PPR league where I've got some bye weeks. My only other option was Ryan Matthews. But I think Deion Lewis, if he's still available in some of your leagues, which I'm sure he is, because on ESPN, he's only 36% owned, you might want to go pick him up just for the upside.
Absolutely.
Patriots versus the Seahawks. Who you got, Mike?
Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots home, primetime game. Here, Monday Night Football is an interesting matchup. We got the Bengals at the Giants. What's your takeaway, Mike?
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to look at it from, because we already kind of know the pass catchers here with the Giants, so I'm not really worried about that. What I'm kind of more intrigued by is the running back situation, and I think that this is a time to get Paul Perkins. I think that he is a viable pickup. I think he's a viable play for this week as well. He ended up getting them, 35% of the snaps last week, and Rashad Jennings still saw more than him, but we're seeing it trend in the right direction for Perkins. And, at this point in their careers, Perkins is the guy that has the higher upside, you know, the rest of the way? Is he somebody that I think is a league winner by himself? No, absolutely not. But I do think against Cincinnati, a team that, you know, has given up a running back touchdown in four straight games, there's certainly a lot to like here. So I like Jennings a little bit, but I like Paul Perkins a little bit more because he's a little bit more explosive, and the Cincinnati, you know, run game or run defense just hasn't been the same. So I like Perkins this week, and I'm hoping that this kind of jump starts him for a little bit of value going forward.
You know, I really kind of like that call. Perkins is a guy that we talked about in the preseason quite a bit as a guy that could make an impact, and I think he's kind of been forgotten about for many reasons, because, you know, he really hasn't gotten any run this season, but he's a guy who's starting to come on, and this may be the time to buy because their run game has been absolutely atrocious for years now.
Yeah, it's been bad.
You know, on the Cincinnati side of the ball, I mean, obviously, you know, AJ Green is a monster, but I think we're starting to see a little bit of a battle for that number two spot in wide receiver. Which, you know, is maybe been a little bit muted with Tyler Eifert coming back. But is Tyler Boyd starting to become a receiver you're interested in? I know the numbers don't jump off the page yet.
Yeah, I mean, not really. He's, you know, he still is playing a good amount of snaps, even in week eight, he played 67% of the snaps. So, like, he still got a good amount of work, even though Tyler Eifert came back. With that said, I feel like Eifert coming off the bye probably will dominate more touches than we're thinking he might. And, you know, it's also a guy that you can buy right now really cheap. Eifert is, you know, was a guy that, what, he scored over 10 touchdowns last year, something like that.
How he's not 100% owned in ESPN leagues, I don't understand.
Yeah,
he's 85% owned.
So, I mean, you're talking secondary options. I think he is the secondary option that you really kind of look for here because, you know, while Boyd might improve as the season goes on, at what point are you really going to feel comfortable starting a guy like that? Even in deeper formats, I feel like there's more options to go with. Even like Sterling Shepard on the opposite side in this game, I've seen him dropped in a ton of leagues, and he could be a hat for nothing. You know, so I would much rather just kind of look for a guy like that. You know, even Cordarrelle Patterson's of the world, JJ Nelson's of the world, just guys that have the immense upside that can kind of help you.
Yeah, and that's the problem with Boyd, because Boyd's a guy that I like, but he's very limited upside.
Yeah, he's like Marquise Lee, which we didn't talk about in that game, but actually, you know, Allen Hurns is looking like he's doubtful, so you might want to play Marquise Lee this week. But regardless, he's kind of like a high target, high volume, high floor guy like Jarvis Landry, but the touchdowns just might not ever be there, you know?
Yeah. Monday Night Football, the Bengals at the Giants. So you got?
Gonna go Giants.
I'm gonna go the Bengals.
I always have an affinity for the Giants. I don't know why. I really don't.
They're garbage. That's the Redskin fan in me. All right, Mike, that's going to wrap us up for our abbreviated show that still went over an hour.
What do you tell longer last week.
Yeah, why don't you tell people what you're working on and where you can be reached?
Yeah, reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. We have when I was on the ITL podcast this last week for football. I know they are also featured on the Fantasy Network on Fantasy Radio. So I think it's FNTSY. If you want to get that, it's free on Apple and on Android. So, you know, just download the app. It's kind of like SiriusXM, except for you don't have to pay for it, which is certainly nice. You can read our rankings on the site every single week. We're going off season with baseball, so if you're a fantasy baseball nut and, you know, aren't getting enough content, you can certainly come over to us and you know, get that every single week. We have great guests, and check out my stuff on Fantasy Pros. I cover the Houston Texans there. I also cover a few other IDP type players, so, you know, check it all out.
You can read all my stuff or all my football stuff on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. I do an article on there every week. It comes out Sunday morning. It's the games I'm taking against the spread. It's the bets I'm actually making every week. And, you know, I keep a tally. I'm closing in on 60% right now after a rough start to the season. You know, I've been pretty good the last, you know, 6-7 weeks. So definitely check that out if you're into that kind of sports betting. I do all my baseball stuff over at FanGraphs currently. except for the podcasts. And I'll probably have some articles coming out soon on friendsoffantasybenefits.com for baseball. But we do the ranks for both sports. We got some basketball pods that are getting going, so definitely check that out. Give us a rate and review on iTunes. It really helps us out. Got a couple new ones recently, so hopefully that'll kind of bust us up the ranks, really gets us going. And yeah, that will kind of wrap us up. For Mike and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.